Our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 23. And what has just happened in chapter 7 is that Jesus has had some very public miracles, including the one we talked about last week. And word is getting back to John the Baptist, who is in prison. His disciples report back to him what they're seeing. And so that is the situation as we start with verse 18. The disciples of John reported all these things about Jesus to him. So John summoned two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to expect someone else?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or are we to expect someone else?'" Jesus had just then cured many people of diseases, afflictions, and evil spirits, and he had given sight to many who were blind. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Every year, our congregation produces an annual report. It includes reports from the pastor, our clerk of session, and all of our ministry teams. It takes a little while to compile and edit. Now, imagine that this year, we simply submit a one-page annual report. And let's say that this report doesn't even fill up the whole page. It's just 37 words long. Well, that's essentially what Jesus did in today's gospel passage. Disciples from John the Baptist came to Jesus, asking him if he was the one to come or if they should wait for another. And Jesus told them to tell John what they have seen and heard. And are you ready for this? Here is Jesus's annual report. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. And then in conclusion, Jesus said, "Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me," which might have been Jesus' wry way of asking, "Any questions?" It's understandable why there would have been questions. And maybe John the Baptist had a pastoral question in mind. Maybe word had gotten back to John earlier about Jesus' sermon in Nazareth, back in Luke chapter 4, in which Jesus quoted Isaiah 61. And among the things that Jesus said, he said that he had been sent to proclaim release to the captives. Proclaim release to the captives. And now Jesus is saying, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. Now, what's missing from that list? What happened to release for the captives? Which is a very pertinent question as John languishes in prison. And according to the Gospel of Luke, Jesus and John are cousins. Why isn't Jesus doing more to help his own family? And John also probably had larger questions in mind beyond his personal plight. John the Baptist is in prison because he has spoken out against Herod Antipas. Herod had married the divorced wife of his half-brother, which was a violation of Mosaic law. John the Baptist spoke out against Herod, and Herod put him in prison. Now, John the Baptist is a keen student of Scripture, knows what to look for in a Messiah. He remembers snippets of Scripture from Ezekiel 5 that a fire will come out against all the house of Israel. And another snippet from Jeremiah 12, "If any nation will not listen, then I will completely uproot it and destroy it," says the Lord. In the words of one commentator, John the Baptist looks and he listens, but he sees no fire and he hears no uprooting. And Jesus' reply to John's disciples, to go and tell him what you've seen and heard, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. That's not just Jesus' annual report. It's also a word of guidance about how to interpret Scripture. Anyone who reads the Hebrew scriptures or the Christian Old Testament and finds them solely to be about God's wrath, they've seen a few trees but missed the forest. And they probably don't even understand what is really meant by wrath. To expect God to come only as a destroyer and not as a savior is to distort the essential message of the Old Testament and to miss the character of God. What Jesus is trying to say is that the true scriptural vision of the Messiah is one who will bring a time of healing and deeds of mercy. And one can look to the ancient promises in the prophet Isaiah about the blind receiving their sight, the lepers being cleansed, the deaf regaining their hearing, and also to the ministries of the prophets Elijah and Elisha. And Jesus' own ministry in the Gospel of Luke closely mirrors the ministries of Elijah and Elisha, including the fact that Elijah and Elisha did not minister to Israel alone, but to all people, even outsiders, even Gentiles, even historic enemies of Israel. Tell John what you have seen and heard. In our own time, we have expectations of Jesus in the church. I suspect that those of us who do take the time to read through our church's annual report each year do so with an underlying hope that our expectations are being met. We have expectations regarding programming, worship, and mission. We have expectations of the pastor and members of staff. And we have expectations of our neighbors and how we hope they will behave and react. And are those expectations being met? And what would you think if I or someone else tried to answer that question by saying, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. James Forbes is a senior pastor emeritus of New York City's Riverside Church. And he has a famous sermon that he has preached over and over again through the years, entitled The Ministry of Raising the Dead. And I was once privileged to hear him give this sermon in person in chapel at Union Presbyterian Seminary when I was still a student. And I was so inspired by that sermon that I quoted it in my first interview. I was interviewing for an associate pastor position at a church in Houston. And I told the pastor nominating committee that I thought that the church needed to be about the ministry of raising the dead. And the eyes of the PNC members grew big as dinner plates. But it's true. The church, in its essence, ought to be about the ministry of raising the dead. The church needs to be in the business of speaking life and resurrection into situations that seem dead and hopeless. If we think that our community is too affluent for us to be bringing good news to the poor, then, as my wife reminds me, we can focus on bringing good news to the poor in spirit, while also remembering that the poor are not so far away as we might think. And Jesus invites us to tell what we have seen and heard, which is also an invitation for us to look and listen. If Jesus is inviting us to tell stories of resurrection and healing, then Jesus is inviting us to spend our time with people who seek resurrection and healing. In the words of one commentator, this means that first and foremost, that we need to take in the suffering of those around us. We should stop and see the pain in our neighbors' faces. We need to take the time to hear the hard stories of strangers. And as we watch and listen, we will also see how hope is born in someone who is given a second chance, a chance to walk, a chance to see, a chance to live in community after long years of isolation, a chance to live again. If we wonder how best to share our own faith, we can begin by telling what we have seen and heard. And sometimes our stories about healing or about discovering a different kind of healing. Sometimes our stories about deliverance are about finding a different kind of deliverance. And what happens to John the Baptist soon after today's story? He doesn't get released from prison. He gets beheaded. He loses his life. John was hoping for deliverance, but instead he got a very different kind of deliverance. In the words of one preacher, We can imagine John the Baptist saying, if you are the one to come, save me. Get me out of here. I don't want to die. And Jesus says in response, no, I'm not getting you out, but move over. I'm coming in with you. Now, of course, John was executed long before Jesus was arrested, but across the course of his life and his death, Jesus did join John in both his arrest and his execution. Jesus did not avoid the suffering, the pain, the loneliness, the abandonment, or even the death that John experienced. And as we tell others what we have seen and heard, some of our most powerful stories will be the stories of faithful saints who prayed for a friend with cancer and the friend died anyway, or they prayed for some kind of personal affliction to be removed and it wasn't removed. And these faithful saints are usually honest enough to confront God directly. Hey, are you the one who is coming to help, or should we look for someone else? And yet somehow, they still trusted. They still felt called to trust in Jesus on an even deeper level. In the words of a powerful spiritual, I asked the Lord to take away my troubles. Instead, God gave me strength. I asked the Lord to move the mountain. Instead, God gave me faith. And then finally, Jesus says this, blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. According to preacher and scholar Tom Long, these words are both a warning and a promise. It warns that the presence of Christ is always surprising, precedent-setting, agenda-shattering, and thus potentially offensive. Anyone who expects the work of God or the work of Christ's church to be safe and free of controversy simply misunderstands the nature of Christ's mission in the world. It will never be neat, tidy, and pretty, and there will always be controversy swirling around it. It is controversial to speak of mercy and peace when many voices are crying out for law and order. It is controversial to speak about welcoming the refugee when so many voices are warning about the dangers of terrorism. But surely welcoming someone in the name of Jesus who has experienced the horrors of war is one of many ways that we can be about the ministry of raising the dead. And yes, such ministry may spark controversy. And yet Jesus' words, blessed is the one who takes no offense at me, is also a promise. It's a promise. Swim past whatever it is you find offensive. Swim past your own disappointments. Swim past the waves of shock slapping you in the face. And here is the promise. You will find yourself swimming in a deep sea of blessing, in a deep sea of mercy. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.